Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday morning, Kevin Walsh joined by Donnie Wrightside. This is the Early Line on Sports Grid. We get straight to the preview. We get straight to business here. There's a lot of Major League Baseball to get to. We're going to go to Mets Phillies. Wow, man. Yesterday's game again. Really tough. I don't know if you'll see another comeback like that one this season. Team comes back from down 6 runs going into the top of the ninth. Their last opportunity. Come all the way back. They win the game 8-7. And now they throw Max Scherzer. They're a minus 142 favorite on the road. Classic Mets total of a 7 spot here. Can the Phillies bounce back? Certainly not an easy guy to try and do it against.
Yeah, and I think the Phillies would be loving the fact that there's supposed to be a monsoon here in the Philadelphia area tonight. Rain is in the forecast with low 50-degree temperatures, and Max Scherzer's on the mound. This is what hurt so much for yesterday for that loss. You had your ace going up against Taijuan Walker and thoroughly owned it. Taijuan Walker was terrible. Your ace was great. That should be a victory because then what happens? Eventually, you're going to have to face Max Scherzer. You don't want to do it on a losing streak. You want to, okay, we got our game. Max is going to beat us, and then you see what you can summon out of the final 2 games of the series. But the simple fact now that it looks like this game will get rained out. Maybe you can lick your wounds. But if we're trying to handicap this game outside of the rainy conditions, low 50-degree temperatures, wind blowing in from right field, you do look towards the under. Because Gibson has been very good for the Philadelphia Phillies this year. A sinker ball pitcher, 3.86 xFIP number. Lefties, Kevin, 271 weighted on base average. Righties, 249. He's been just fine. And if we take a look at Max Scherzer, who never loses against the Philadelphia Phillies, with a 325 xFIP here, dominating lefties and right-handed batters. Cold condition. So let's just say it does play tonight and they play through a chilly rain. Are we expecting the ball to really travel tonight? Traveled quite a bit last night with a lot of home runs leaving the yard on a nice night. But today, much cooler conditions, 2 really good pitchers, at least this season on the mound, particularly Max Scherzer with Gibson, again, having a nice 2022. You got to look towards the under. If this game plays, Kevin, we're going under here between the Phillies and the Mets.
Let me bring up one guy specifically, though, and that's Kyle Schwarber. Scherzer pitched on Sunday Night Baseball against the Phils, and he was basically the at-bats that were not against Kyle Schwarber for the most part went pretty well. Schwarber did take him deep twice, though. Is that a spot where do the numbers say Schwarber can have a big night? Do we look 2+ bases? Is it he's got his number? Was it a hot night at the plate? Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to look towards Kyle Schwarber because less than a week ago, just really touched up Max Scherzer.
Yeah, if we take a look at the 3 Phillies in the anticipated lineup tonight, Kevin, Schwarber's got a 380 ISO power number against right-handed pitchers. So that's one of those guys. He's a lefty going up against a righty, can do some damage. Bryce Harper, a lefty going up against a righty, a 250 ISO power number. Then Odubel Herrera, 25 at bats for his righties this year, Kevin, a 478. Also keep in mind, Nick Castellanos having a very good year at the plate for the Philadelphia Phillies. Got hit with a pitch last night, left the game. He's not in the anticipated starting lineup tonight. So maybe the Phillies also down one of their bigger bats as well.
Makes some sense there. The other number I'll bring up here before we move on, Max Scherzer's strikeout prop. Last time they played, it was a 7.5. It was a little bit juicy to the over. They've moved that to an 8.5 now. It's plus money over. When he saw the Phils, he struck out 9 batters. He struck out now 9 at least in 3 consecutive starts as he's continuing to be given a little bit of a longer rope there. Can go into the 100-pitch mark. It makes some sense there to eye up some of those Scherzer props, though 8.5 is definitely a big number for any pitcher. We'll keep it New York baseball. Yankees start a new series back at home. They're going up against the Texas Rangers. Man, let's get the radio audiences here on a Friday morning. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on the Early Line. Thanks for all those who are watching and listening with us here as we're going through some Major League Baseball. Gerrit Cole is on the mound. I get it. A flat 7, though, for the New York Yankees, and I feel like the way that they've been hitting for the most part, say it ain't so. Is it under 7 at Yankee Stadium today?
I'm assuming that the Yankees might have to get all 7 of those runs to at least get a push, because the numbers that I wrote down here, just quickly, Cole versus Rangers bats, he's had a decent xFIP, 4.05, but he's really settled in. Outside of, I guess, Billy Crystal showing up at Yankee Stadium tonight, he should dominate. Look at the lineup today for the Rangers and how, just forget about Gerrit Cole, he's one of the elite pitchers in Major League Baseball, but he's also a righty. The Rangers versus right-handed batters, there's one guy in the lineup, Garcia's got a 222 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. The rest of them, Kevin, quickly, 051, 062, 092, 018, 064, 1, and a 077. And also, if you take a look, and to me, I say, hey, you know what? Let's look towards a Rangers team total under. I think that makes some sense. Now, again, there's going to be rain in the Bronx, cooler conditions, not optimum hitting conditions. But if you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Kevin, the Texas Rangers team total for this game, 2.5 at a minus one. It's not even juiced. It's a minus 110 at a 2.5. This is insanity. This is the American League Yankee Stadium. I get it's Gerrit Cole, but you're saying you're going to get your money back plus if they can just get to 3 runs in 9 guaranteed at-bats at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Crazy town here in Major League Baseball in 2022.
Here's the thing with that 2.5. Donnie, Gerrit Cole gets to the first 3 clean. We're out of two.
Yes. Yeah.
Donnie,
you're at a 1 by the 4th inning.
1.5.
You're at a 1 by the 4th. Yeah, by the 4th inning, you're saying, like, my goodness, if somebody could a solo home run, I have, like, 18 outs to cash this ticket. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you got it. We talk principal plays. And Gerrit Cole, by the way, has not given up a run in each of his last 2 starts.
True.
But also, Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium, we know the long ball can come into effect. Boy, that's tough there, man. 2.5 pregame. You're 2 innings away from 1.5. That's madness. Tons of more Major League Baseball coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do it, Major League Baseball. It's a really, really fun slate of games here. Cleveland-Toronto yesterday, good to our guy Donnie. A first 5 over, cashed with some smoothness. The game itself went over the listed total as well. Much different total today. Well, maybe not much different total, but certainly much different expectations from that baseball game. It's Shane Bieber and Kevin Gausman. Gausman is sneaky, it feels like to me, having a Cy Young caliber start to his season. He is actually right now the second choice on the board, so credit to him. Maybe I'm being unfair to say it is sneaky, but he's going up against Shane Bieber, a guy with some hardware in the trophy case in his own right here. 6.5. Man, you see a Toronto game, you see 6.5. It does catch the eye. But you see a team going to Cleveland, Shane Bieber's on the mound, and they're minus 150 range. That also catches the eye. That's a little bit surprising there. What do you see in Guardians and Blue Jays?
Yeah, still feeling incredible that we're taking a look at a Blue Jays game here, and it's a 6.5, knowing that they can do damage at the plate. But also keep in mind, hopefully, Kevin, this is one of those last weekends here as we are in the month of May, that we get rid of the rain and we get rid of the cooler temperatures, because in Cleveland tonight, wind blowing in 17 miles an hour from right field with 55 degrees. And oh yeah, let's throw in rain into the forecast as well. So it certainly doesn't help. It's not optimum hitting conditions. But if we take a look at this game overall, if you think that Toronto can do some damage, which I thought they could do yesterday, and they did help me out. The game ended up being a very high scoring game, but they easily covered those first 4 innings over 4 as a total for the game between both sides. But if you take a look at Bieber this year, 4.01 xFIP number, which isn't bad. 25% K rate, which is good. Walks under 5% for batters he's faced, which is great. Now, he has absolutely dominated. Again, Bieber is a right-handed pitcher, left-handed batters. 42 batters that he's faced, a 135 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 051, which is fantastic. But the damage gets done from the right-hand side. If you take a look at Bieber, 341 weighted on base percentage, which isn't terrible, but it's elevated, but an ISO power number of over 209. Why does it make sense? Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Hernandez, Gurriel, Chapman, all from the right-hand side. So if I'm looking at this game, I do like the Toronto side. But it's kind of hard here because you are looking at a game, rainy conditions, cold conditions, wind blowing in. So offense is going to be at a premium. But if I'm going to trust what I like to look at, I do think the Toronto Blue Jays can do some damage here from the right-hand side against Bieber. If we take a look at Gausman, you're right. 2.25 xFIP number, striking out 33% of the batters he's faced. Kevin, he's had about, what, maybe 120 or so batters he's faced. He hasn't walked a single batter in 2022. So if you're dominating, you're striking out, you're not giving away any free passes, the only way I can lead in this game is towards Toronto here, Kevin.
Man, that is actually, that's a jarring statistic there. Let me just say this, though. You never want to pay the peak of a price, right? That's a tough thing to do. You hate to be late to the party. But Kevin Gausman's strikeout prop is 6.5. I've followed the strikeout props enough to tell you this. It's currently plus 116. I'll be stunned if that does not close at a minus price. His last three games, I know every opponent's different. I got you. 9, 8, 9, 10 strikeouts. He's only been allowed to, you know, increase the pitch total each and every game. And as Donnie's mentioned, he's absolutely on fire. In fact, Shane Bieber's also 6.5 at a plus price here. You could reasonably bet both of these guys. We always talk hitter prop parlays. Could you get involved with a strikeout prop parlay on these two guys? Each man for 5, you know, each man for 6. There's different ways you can navigate this baseball game here. I know Blue Jays Gardens, it's probably not primetime baseball, but FanDuel Sportsbook, you want to get involved with a baseball boost, you know? These two guys to combine for 15 strikeouts. You can get involved in a couple different ways here with these guys. It's exciting stuff. I look forward to that matchup. Here's another game I look forward to. The Sox battle. Red Sox, White Sox. Why do I look forward to this? Because typically, if I had told you, you know, before the season got underway, hey, the Boston Red Sox are home, they're going against Vinny Velasquez. Psh, man, team total is going to be 5.5, 6. They're going to mash. Boston's really struggling. Really, like they are 10-16. It feels always early to write teams off, but boy, this group doesn't feel like they're going to even be in the hunt for playoff baseball with the way that they're out here competing. It's been very, very tough sledding for the Boston Red Sox early on, but they're a strong favorite, minus 180, totals 8.5. Vinny Velasquez is the opposing pitcher. What do you think of this game here tonight?
Vinny Velasquez actually has been decent against left-handed batters this year. 43 he's faced, Kevin, a 197 weighted on base percentage and a 0 ISO power number. But he does have a 523 xFIP, and that's the reason why his right-handed batters absolutely have been pounding him to a tune of 481 weighted on base percentage and a 353 ISO power number. But here's the argument that you want to get into, because typically you would say, hold on. I'm going to get the Red Sox at this price. I don't want to pay that much money. They're going to get the White Sox. Typically in the past, the White Sox can roll out a lineup of Anderson, Engel, Abreu, Robert, Grandal, you know, Pollock, and, you know, for the rest of the lineup. And it's like, hey, I'll take my chances with that. Eovaldi's been pretty good this year. 3.32 xFIP number. Both lefties and righties, he's handled his business. But here's the issue again. You talk about teams where maybe the dead ball is affecting them more than others, where they lived off of the 2-run and 3-run home runs in games, which just aren't happening. Now, the one thing I will say, this game is in Boston. It's the East Coast, so you're probably saying, Donnie, it's going to be freezing cold and raining, right? Not necessarily. Around that 60-degree temperature range, the wind is blowing in, Kevin, but we don't have any rain in the forecast, which is good. But take a look at the White Sox batters here. Now, typically, we like to say is the White Sox hammer left-handed pitching, and whenever they get left-handed pitchers over the past couple of years, it's an auto bet. Not necessarily against right-handed pitchers. Eovaldi, is he a great pitcher? Not necessarily, but he is a very good pitcher. But look at the lineup anticipated tonight with just the weighted on-base percentage for the White Sox against right-handed pitchers. 291, 220, 303, 255, 198, 221, 273, 185, and 209. Again, those numbers I listed here, 325 or better is where you want to be. Every single batter is below average here. And if we flip it over to ISO power percentage, right? 175 is a good hitter in Major League Baseball. That's the average. You want to be above that. Not a single player in the lineup for the White Sox tonight, Kevin, has a 175 ISO power number or better against right-handed pitching. So if you want to be the contrarian better and say, eventually they're going to wake up, maybe it's tonight, good luck with that. But that doesn't win money long-term.
You know, I kind of talk about the game through the prism of what a disappointing start for Boston, as if it's not the exact same story around, you know, the Chicago White Sox here. And both teams are sub 500. Now, the White Sox, you know, have a little bit more leeway because the AL Central isn't supposed to be super top heavy, right? They're three back. Just to give reference, the White Sox at 11-13 are three back of Minnesota. The Boston Red Sox are right now 8.5 back of the New York Yankees. They are 5.5 back of Toronto for third place in that division. So that shows you the varying degrees that come with playing in the AL East versus really, you know, kind of any other division. Certainly enough time to bring up one more game here. Nats, Angels. Listen, the LA Angels winning is exciting to me. I want them to be good, simply. I want Trout and I want Ohtani to be in the postseason. 17-10 start. Off, you know, right now, the second best run differential in the American League at a plus 27. And they're playing a Washington Nationals team that is not very good. I mean, we get excited to watch Juan Soto, but beyond that, not much else. Quickly here, what are you thinking for this game between the Angels and the Nationals?
Maybe sneaky team total for the Nationals this game. We'll keep it quick here. Berea, the right-handed pitcher, 4.19 xFIP number, which is okay on the season. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys, doesn't walk a lot of guys. But check this. For right-handed batters that he's faced, he's a right-handed pitcher, 29 of them, Kevin, a 204 weighted on base percentage and a 111 ISO power number. But left-handers have really gotten the best of Berea this year, a 4.32 weighted on base percentage and a 353 ISO power number. So if we take a look at tonight, the anticipated left-handed bats in the lineup tonight for the Nats, Hernandez, Soto, Bell, Hernandez again, Ruiz. You should get some power out of those positions here. So maybe a sneaky team total tonight, getting 9 full at bats here for the Nationals, might make some sense on a team total.
Makes some sense there. Here's what we'll do. We're coming up against the break. When we come back, we'll make sure we go whatever any other games, maybe Donnie Circle, just items that you might be looking at there on a Friday. And then we make the move to the NBA, previewing all 4 game number 3s that are coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the baseball board, I throw it to you one more time, Donnie. Open-ended, what circled, what catches the eye, anywhere you want to go before we head over to the NBA.
Yeah, there's a couple games a little bit later on the docket that you might be want to take a look at or maybe a little bit of an interest here. And sometimes where the better baseball teams look to go, like, hey, let's put a Yankees game in here or a Mets game. Hey, take a look at this Colorado-Arizona game here is the way it sets up. And quite frankly, if we're setting the table for this one, as you see, minus 162 here as a favorite for the Diamondbacks in this game, an over-under of 8.5. Now, one of the guys in the past that I've loved the fade, it used to be on the Pittsburgh Pirates, was Chad Kuhl. How about this? A 4.41 xFIP number this year. K percentage, right around 20%. So it hasn't been that dominant in that department. But I got to tell you, Chad Kuhl to lefties this year, Kevin, a 223 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 105. To right-handed batters, 46 guys he's faced, a 200 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 070. And then if we take a look here from a Colorado perspective coming up to the plate, going up against Kelly, a 413 xFIP number, striking out 22% of the batters. He's also been very good, Kevin, versus lefty and righty batters. 240 weighted on base percentage to lefties, 243 to righties, very low ISO power number. So two bad baseball teams getting together, which typically both of these pitchers were fade material the past couple of years, but obviously benefiting here from a dead ball era, at least through April and early May. I'm looking towards the under 8.5 in this game between these two.
Look, again, those unders are going to still pile in for a little bit, but if everybody can embrace the Cincinnati Reds lifestyle, we'll start to pop those totals back up again. Let me add this quickly, just the NHL yesterday, two things. One, from a recap perspective, nice boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook, paid out at plus 250 on basically the favorites to handle their business, the Rangers, the Panthers, and the Colorado Avalanche. All of that happened. I'll add, though, the Avs laid 2.5 goals to the Preds, and they only won the game 2-1. I don't think you'll see, again, a team be laying 2.5 goals inside the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if you're looking to bet today's board, I tried to make this point yesterday when we had George, but and Donnie cut my wire. If you're looking to just freshly get involved and bet hockey, one of the easiest sells I could give you is to bet the best player in the sport to perform well. Connor McDavid has played against the LA Kings six times this season. He has had two or more points in five of the six games, and each of the first two in this series, it is minus 102 for Connor McDavid over 1.5 points. If you're looking to get involved with hockey tonight, that is late action, though. But Friday, maybe you can stay up a little bit longer and watch it play out. Let's go NBA. Let's make it happen with you right here. We've got the 76ers, a 3-point home underdog versus the Miami Heat. If you missed the top of the show, if you missed the news yesterday, Joel Embiid listed as out for this basketball game. The expectation is Embiid will not be available tonight, and that very well could get this number on the move. This could be a situation where this closes at a five and a half, maybe, when they officially rule out Joel Embiid. I ask you, Donnie, to start this off. What are your thoughts going into Game 3, Heat Sixers?
And the three looks cheap for the Heat right now. We are anticipating Joel Embiid is not going to get to the starting blocks tonight for Game 3. And also, human beings, last time I checked, Kevin, play the game of basketball. So psychology does come into this. How do you feel? We've all played sports in the past. Your best player in the team, which, I mean, every time I played, it was always me. So I don't know, maybe it's a little bit different for the other people listening out here at this point. But when your best player is supposedly maybe coming back for Game 3, you're on the road, Kevin, first two games, right? You say to yourself, hey, let's see what we can do. Hopefully we can steal one. But if we don't, we go back home. The big guy is there. A home crowd is here. We're energized because we know we have a legitimate chance to win this game. So you're hearing and hoping through games 1 and 2, which you lost both of those games, but the big guy's coming back, the MVP. He's got our back. He's going to rescue us. And then you get word like, by the way, the big man's probably not coming back and doesn't look like he's going to rescue you, so good luck in game 3. So James Harden, I like what he's doing in post-game press. Hey, no big deal, though. Lost these two games. We'll come back home, get in front of the fans, and we'll sort of rebound and come back in it, which is great. It's better than, you know, the look where LeBron James and Anthony Davis sat in the post-game press conference around the All-Star break and said, what do you want us to do? The Bucks are way better and we stink right now. So at least you don't have that going for you. But I look at this 3-point number just to kickstart the conversation, and I say to myself, who in the right mind outside of just a pure contrarian better is, you know what, Kevin? Sixers are the way to go tonight. I don't see it.
Yeah, they're home. Miami lost Game 3 to Atlanta by one. Not at the buzzer, but, you know, close to it on a Trae Young floater in transition. So there's a precedent for Miami looking dominant in the first two and then dropping game number 3 and then kind of getting right back to it. The problem is, again, Philly just looks, one, very overmatched. Two, the lineups are just not right. Harden's not right. And also, you can't, but this will be Maxey's best game. Will it? He scored 34 last game. Like, do we think Tyrese Maxey's 30 again? That's a hard sell. With that being said, though, maybe I am naive here. How do you not like a 76ers team total over 103.5? Back at home, the shooting has to pick up. You made 5 threes in game number 1. You went 8 of 30 in game number 2. Like, you got better, but it's still not good at all. Like, if they shoot it at 35% from 3, which is certainly not going gangbusters at home, shouldn't I be able to get 104 points from the Philadelphia 76ers? Shouldn't George's Niang bounce back from beyond the arc? Shouldn't Harden be able to hit a couple of 3-point shots? Danny Green went 1 of 9. 1 of 9 last game. Shouldn't I be able to get more from Danny Green going back to Philly? I can't take Philly plus the points. Again, everybody knows at this point what I think of this Miami Heat basketball team. But shouldn't just normal positive regression plus going back home put the Sixers in a spot to score at least 104 tonight?
You're right, and you should, because what's the old adage here, Kevin? The starters should play regardless and play well wherever they are, home or away. But your bench players get the bump from the home court advantage. You're used to shooting there. You're in front of your own fans. So when you bring up the guys that are coming off the bench like a George's Niang, yes, you're supposed to knock some 3-point shots down. You know, Furkan Korkmaz. Those are the guys that are going to make the difference in this game, and rightfully so. This is one of those performances, again, we're looking at the Sixers where they're going to be under 100 points or right on the cusp here. What's the line that the Sixers have to get into tonight? You can't say to me, like, the Sixers can win this game 96-92. They have to get into that realm of 110 points legitimately if they want to win. I don't think they can. I just don't. Because you can run away from Joel Embiid and say, okay, let's play good for a half, which they did game one, and that series had the, 51-50 lead. And you say, whoa, look at this. The Sixers playing well without Embiid. And it was clear in the second half, eventually it runs out. When your best player is not on the court, you can't overcompensate, and James Harden is going to flash back to the 2017-2016 version. It's pretty apparent at this point. So when I look at that 103-104 price point, I don't know if they can get there. I don't. I haven't seen it. I need it.
Yeah, I listen, I'm not telling you it's my favorite play of all time. That's one of those things you bet and you're sat there midway through the third quarter asking yourself, what was I thinking? I can't believe I gave this team. Because I'll say this about that team total. They can go out there and score 60 in the first half and you're not going to be comfortable. You're all right, cool. I don't have to watch the rest of this game. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'll add two guys whose numbers I'm interested by, and then I'll throw a Harden question in there because I'm always interested in anyone's expectations going into a Harden game. George's Niang three-point prop is not posted. Last game it was a 1.5. He played 10 minutes because he fouled out, which is outrageous. George's Niang should never be fouling out. He doesn't even really play defense. But he went 1-3 in the game. The game before that, he was 0-7. If George's Niang can just not foul out, I think he should be able to get over that marker. Max Strus, it's 3.5 rebounds. His last four games now, 5-5-5-4. It's going over consistently. Take a look at the Max Strus numbers as well in the rebound perspective here. Harden, 22.5 points. Rebound prop checks in at 6.5 now, pretty low number. 9.5 assists, plus money to the over. 3-point shots is 2.5, plus money to the over. The expectations for James Harden are what?
I'm going to tell you right now, feeling better about James Harden in game three. I mean, we even cut up some clips here for Sports Grid, said in the last game, don't bet James Harden points props to the over. It's not going to work out. Did he get close? Yeah. But did he get over? No, he didn't. And I didn't think he was going to do that. Again, having a nice first half and not a good second half. But if I take a look right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook and I bring up James Harden's points props for this game, 22.5 at a plus 100. You know what I'm waiting on? Because the hate is out there for James Harden, and rightfully so. I mean, but the guy's putting up close to, 20-9 in this series. So if you're going to say, okay, James Harden, you're home, we're anticipating Joel Embiid not playing again, and I do know the hatred out there towards James Harden, so not very many people are looking at that 22.5 going, you know what, Kevin, I think he can get to 23 points, 24, 25. I'm going to wait on that because that plus 100 tells me that a little bit later, possibly in the afternoon, Kevin, we might slip to a 21.5. And I got to tell you, you know, because you have to be, I always talk about being a chameleon in the handicapping, you know, realm. You must be able to say, I don't like James Harden game two, but you know what? It's a really good chance in game three. I have an angle here that I think makes some sense because if you're just fading and saying, I don't like him, I'm never going to bet him, you're doing this thing wrong. You need the ability to say in game two, I don't think he gets over his points prop. But actually, in game three, if I can get it a little bit lower, 21.5 in that range, I think I'm going to take a James Harden points prop to the over here tonight, Kevin, because I expect 15-plus shots out of him and a decent performance on the home court in front of the home fans.
I want to see what his first quarter point prop is when it's posted. He went for 5 in game one and 4 in game two. I don't think it's going to be 3.5. It could be 4.5. He plays the entire first quarter. Like, if it has to be early, right? If it's going to be at all for Harden, a lot more NBA to break down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Heat Sixers, for the most part, is in the bag. Obviously very, very excited for that game tonight. We'll see what happens if, or not if, but when the Embiid news becomes official. But one thing we've also seen is Miami is now minus 1,500 to win the series, minus 200 to win it in 5 or less. So the expectations are major around Miami right now. Super interesting stuff here. Let's make the move, Donnie, to Phoenix. Close one here. Look, it's essentially a pick. Minus 110 on the Suns, minus 106 on the Dallas Mavericks. The total is 219.5. I thought that the Phoenix Suns had an ability to win this series in maybe short order, 5 or 6 games, but all the games would feel close. And somehow, these games have had an air of closeness, but by the time you get to the finish line, it's as if the Mavs and the Suns are playing just a completely different game. The problem right now for Dallas is there are people who are having these mind-numbing conversations around, is Luka trying to do too much? Why can't Jalen Brunson hit shots? None of that matters. They're giving up 125 a game in this series. You are not going to win a darn game if you give up 125 a night. What are we thinking as we go in to Phoenix, Dallas?
I'm thinking that Phoenix is the better basketball team, but you are getting a line that says, hey, look at this. Dallas Mavericks should really be in this game, but I'm not going to buy that because I do think the Phoenix Suns are a better team, but this is one of those where you get the kitchen sink games. I say, hey, Donnie, what are you talking about here? You just talked about saying there's no way, shape, or form you can take the Sixers with +3 in a kitchen sink game. Yeah, it's going to be a kitchen sink game, but you don't even have the kitchen sink in Philadelphia. Who is Joel Embiid? Where at least you have Luka Doncic on your side on the home court saying, hey, if he goes nuts, which he can, 30-plus points, 35, 40 points in a game, 10 assists, 8 rebounds to carry a team to victory. He can do that. But I'm also going to withstand that and say the Phoenix Suns are healthy. Devin Booker looks like he's ready to go. Chris Paul, obviously, after that late season injury prognosis, he's fine as well. The bench is playing well. And also, keep in mind on this, I don't understand this notion here where I guess we're expecting Chris Paul to say, play the second fiddle to Booker and we don't need you to score. Because if I look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now here, Kevin, Chris Paul's points prop over 17.5 at a minus 116 clip. I took it last game at 16.5. He ended up with 28 points here. So if you're saying to yourself, well, it's a road game, Don. It's a little bit different. Maybe he's going to be not in so much scoring mode, but more dishing it out. I don't know. Last time he played against the Pelicans here on the road, he dropped 33 points. Now, there was that one anomaly game, right? We thought he might be injured here. We took 8 shot attempts from the floor and only ended up with 4 points. But the game previous before that on the road, 28 points. Chris Paul's a big-time performer. And if you're saying to yourself tonight, like, I don't think Chris Paul can get to 20 points, you're out of your mind. Taking Chris Paul tonight, give me the numbers here, over 17.5. Let's go.
It feels like a spot where you back the stars. Devin Booker this year actually averaged more points on the road than home this year. His number's 26.5. He had 30 last game. Look, the one thing I don't know what to do with is the Luka stuff, though. I really don't. It's 34.5. Last game, he went over 33.5, got to 35. He had 45 in game number one. He's been better at home than on the road this year. But this, it's just a lot. It's a lot. As someone that went back to the Jalen Brunson well, can't do it again. Can't. It's too ugly. Might just not be a series for him. They maybe have too many answers for Jalen Brunson right now on that Phoenix basketball team here. Maybe he does go, maybe he can find the groove. His number's now 17.5. I personally can't get there on Brunson. The one thing, though, that I thought game two, you could come back around on an under, right? And I give you credit. You're like, no, I think over. Like, I'd rather trust these offenses. I was like, I think under, the games have an ability to change tempo. I don't want to be chasing my tail here. I struggle to think that this is not an over basketball game, though, because it just seems like everything the Suns do is repeatable. Like, if you want to be super specific, the Suns team totals 109.5. That just feels very safe right now to me, Donnie.
It does. It does. And that's the way, the direction that you want to lean, because offensive efficiency makes some sense. Now, Kevin, when we take a look at this game overall, right, because there's a couple quick points where I know we got to get to some of these weekend games. But if we're, like, what about the secondary options? You know me. Like, I love secondary options where you take a look at it, where Jalen Brunson, 17.5, but he's really more in the forefront. But the guy that I kept on banging, like a Jay Crowder coming up in this series, you're saying, come on, man, you can't have like 4-point games and 5-point games. Finally get something legitimate. We see him at an 8.5 here. Maxi Kleber here for the Dallas Mavericks, an 8.5 here. Spencer Dinwiddie, 11.5. Does anybody, because we usually look through the stars, right? Which I went right to Chris Paul, and I love it. I think Chris Paul is going to get 20-plus points. But if we have totals around that 220 range, somebody else has to score besides the superstars here.
Yeah, Reggie Bullock over 2.5 made threes can make some sense. Kleber over 1.5 made threes can make some sense. I think backing the Dallas role players in the 3-point prop market makes sense. Whether you go straight, whether you try and piece together at kind home. Of a lower risk same game parlay, I think, Don, I think back at home, those guys start to make a lot. Story and Finney Smith, I think those guys start to make a lot more sense going into this. Let me bring up something before we get to the weekend games. New market on the FanDuel Sportsbook here of round two player stat leaders. Just to, you know, I think that's pretty obvious, but just in case it's not. Most points per game, round two only. They have assists. They have also made threes. I bring this up only because right now, because Luka is the favorite at minus 210 to average the most points per game. Ja is the second choice at plus 220. Giannis, while is obviously fantastic, the other two through two games are averaging 40 a night. Luka is at 80 points. Ja Morant is at 81. So to put this into the easiest perspective, Donnie, Ja scored one more point per game than Luka. Do you think Luka at minus 210 is correct, or is there enough anticipation around Ja Morant and what he's done early versus the Golden State Warriors that at plus 220, he can basically outscore Luka for the rest of this round?
I would probably say it's right where it stands here with minus 210. The reason being, if roles were reversed, and what I mean by that is, let's just say Ja Morant was coming to his home court for games 3 and 4 after performing like he did in games 1 and 2, or Luka Doncic really going on the road as opposed to being home. So if I'm looking at Luka Doncic, he's going to get calls. He's going to expect to have a massive usage rate. And he knows the only way that they can win is if he piles up the points and the stats. That's the way I look at it, and I do think it's right, even though it seems high at minus 210.
That's an excellent point, that he's going back home, Ja's going to the road. Let me carry that over then to this. Most threes per game in round two, Tatum's the favorite at plus 170. He's made 9 compared to Steph's 8. Steph is plus 210. Again, it's Steph. I mean, it's Steph. Donnie, if I offered you, what odds would you need to say, like, yes, no, Steph will hit 6 threes in one of the two games in Golden State? Like, doesn't that feel very likely?
Even number. Yeah, just give me like a plus 100 and I'll be down with that. Like, he's going to go nuts. Yes. Yep.
Like Tatum's going to Milwaukee. And by the way, it's not a Tatum slight. Not at all. You know what I'm saying? But it's Steph Curry. And then just to let people know, the other market there is highest assist average. Ja's the favorite, plus 170. Harden, plus 250. This one actually is very competitive, relatively speaking here. Luka's plus 430. Giannis, 6-1. Can you believe that Chris Paul's plus 650? I don't think this market existed. Don, like, I don't think this market existed before round two. I bet you Chris Paul would have been a minus money favorite to lead round two in assists per game.
Yes, and easily. And that's the thing you bring up here, too, because, like, hey, where's Chris Paul lineup? Behind Giannis? Like, wait a second. How is that even possible? Like, you used to be able to just pencil in, you know, 10.5 assists, 11 assists out of Chris Paul every single night. And the fact that he's lined up in the five hole is kind of crazy.
It's super odd. Is Ja Morant really the guy at 9 a night right now? Like, Chris Paul's averaging 5.5 assists, which is ridiculous. But in the same way we talk about Steph having an ability to hit 6-7 threes, like, Chris Paul literally has 14 assists in two games this year versus the Dallas Mavericks. Let me make sure I'm phrasing that correctly. In two different games, he had 14 assists in each game. Like, it's very reasonable that CP3 tonight has 15 dimes. I know that sounds ridiculous, but, like, that's Chris Paul. That's what he has the ability to do. Fun market. Let's quickly hit the other two games here. Boston, Milwaukee, Memphis, Golden State. I'll go first quickly here. I don't know how you're not taking 7.5 with the Memphis Grizzlies in that late one against the Golden State Warriors.
Are they setting us up? It sounds like they're setting us up right now. If we take a look at maybe some tickets, it's roughly 50-50 ticket process if you like to look at that. But the first inclination is usually the right one. Hey, guys, what's the line of that game? Grizz getting 7.5. Wait, what? Grizz are getting 7.5. You didn't immediately think, like, whoa, that sounds light. Should be around 10 in this frame. No, I agree with you here. The Memphis Grizzlies getting 7.5 sounds about right, unless the Splash Brothers go absolutely off at home, which they might be able to do. But I trust Memphis in that spot. I could see this game in the fourth quarter in the balance here either direction. Give me Memphis at the 7.5, too.
Because I have a feeling Don and I are going to agree on the next game, too. This is the kind of lines where I try and tell people, go out of your circle. Ask around, because I do believe there is something to when you hear everybody like one side. All right, let me maybe come back a bounce here. Let me reassess and make sure I feel great about this, because I don't know how you're not taking the 7.5 with Memphis. These games have been super close. I do think Golden State will run them once. I do. But Memphis has an ability to win one of these games as well. I think you feel more comfortable with 7.5 points. But also, I mean, people are going to line up and lay 2.5 with Milwaukee, right? Or no? Am I in a Bucks bubble over here? Everybody loves Boston. Everybody adores Boston. This is Boston's series, and Boston's going to have this, you know, 3-1. Boston's going to easily have this 2-2, flip back to, you know, monster favorites in the series here. What do you think going into Boston and Milwaukee?
I'm thinking the same thing as you. Like, I think Boston's a very good basketball team. But when push comes to shove, and you already saw that you had that one win on the home court there where Milwaukee went on the road and made it at least 1-1 heading back to Milwaukee, I just look at Giannis on his home court. They're going to be a tough out and tough to beat. So if you look at the line, nobody's going into this going, you know what? I think the Celtics can keep it close, but if they don't win, I'll take the 2.5 points. No. If you're taking the Boston Celtics, you think they're going to go in and win game three over the Milwaukee Bucks in their building. I don't think that's possible here. And again, the only ones that we're looking at, like the Philadelphia 76ers, Giannis isn't out for this game. Like, Giannis is playing, and he's home, and they're fresh off of a championship the year before. I like Milwaukee in this game. I'll take the points with the Grizzlies, and I'll lay the points with the Bucks.
Let me say this. You saw on the bottom in the last one, the little coming up said, what to expect from Giannis game three. It's there for a reason, because the book is giving you an idea. Hey, yeah, that Boston defense, maybe Giannis figured something out in the second half of that game. 30.5, that's strong. We talk about reading sides and totals. 30.5 for the way things have started in this series for Giannis against the narratives that apply to this Boston Celtics defense, they're telling you Giannis gets home, Giannis gets right. And if Giannis is... Giannis is going to go for 40. That's got to be a Bucks win. I don't see it any other way. I don't see it any other way if Giannis is out there climbing the ladder in the way that maybe some of these numbers suggest. I'll add this quickly as well. Donnie and I once had a massive debate around the Brooklyn Nets at home against the spread trends and how they factor in when the lines are short. So let's forget against the spread and let's go straight up. Milwaukee, when they have been favored at home this year, 27-13 straight up. Boston, when they have been a road underdog this year, 6-14 straight up. Milwaukee's handled their business when they're supposed to. I think Milwaukee handles their business against the Boston Celtics. I really do. Fun series. So much fun. The NBA postseason has been delivering in a massive way, and I think that continues tonight and into the weekend, no doubt about it. I'll have you covered as well on Betting Above the Rim. But up next, you got to listen up. 90 Right Side will close it out here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the week here for the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here along with Kevin Walsh. As always, powering through 7 to 9 a.m. to set the table for both today and also the weekend before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now, the City of Brotherly Love under siege in all directions on the baseball diamond, ice hockey, and also, yes, the Philadelphia 76ers. But something happened. It hasn't happened in quite some time in the City of Brotherly Love last night, and you need to listen up. All right, DRS had Daddy Daughter Night last night at the Phillies game, and what a game to pick. Aaron Nola's on the bump here. Nice conditions here at the start of the game, about 68, 69 degrees, no rain in the forecast, and we thoroughly enjoyed the first 8 innings of the ball game. Ice cream, burgers, pizza, French fries, you name it, souvenirs. We had it all. And he even tried to get in the 50-50, where it's hoping to win, you know, 11 grand it was. Didn't end up to be, but a perfect night overall. As myself and my 10-year-old daughter left the building in the bottom of the 8th inning, a good night had by all. The Philadelphia Phillies were secure in this game at 7-1. We would drive home and listen on the radio, a Phillies victory, and off into the night we would go. Well, off into the night the Philadelphia Phillies would go as they lost this ball game up 7-0. 8-7, which was absolutely ridiculous. But that's case in point for the Phillies this year. As you take a look at the Mets having one of those seasons where maybe it is their year at 19-19 to start. The Philadelphia Phillies, with their high payroll, currently sitting here at 11-15. And the issue wasn't so much that the Phillies lost another game. It's because they had already lost the previous two at home to the lowly Texas Rangers. Now you compound it by saying your ace went out and absolutely dominated, but you didn't get anything out of this performance. And oh, yes, you know who's on the bump tonight for those New York Mets? Max Scherzer. So a losing streak may continue. That's one of those games where you absolutely have to have, and you took the loss. Welcome to the Philadelphia Phillies 2022 version. It's been a long time since we've been in the playoffs. It is what it is, as they like to say. And you know what's happening next? Ben Stevens in the Morning After, joined by KW. Make sure you stay tuned.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.